feel like you're this big vending machine up in the sky. And I'm a hungry heart looking through the glass at all these delicious looking packages of peace, hope, joy, comfort, strength, healing. And yet there's no price tag. So I just have to keep putting in my quarters and pushing the buttons, putting in my quarters and pushing the buttons, fasting and praying and sacrificially giving them a time, talent, and treasure. You know, like all every once in a while, something would come down the hatch. But I didn't know why. Had I been desperate enough? Had I finally prayed enough? It was so frustrating for me. And I didn't understand how that I could pray a simple prayer and watch a miracle happen.
What if story is the answer to our crises of meaning and belonging, to our impulse to heal our lives and help others, to our desire and drive to leave this world better than we found it? Now, we love good stories. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. Not just with the stories themselves, but with the stories behind the stories. Their oddly perfect timing, the healing process they provoke in their authors, and their capacity to catalyze individual and collective change. And we love exploring these with writers, thought leaders, entrepreneurs, healers, parents, and others. Tune in to hear these stories behind the stories and entertain with us the real possibility that whether you are a teller or a consumer, story is always offering or leading us to an answer. After figuring out the secret to the big vending machine in the sky, Teddy Rachel set out on a mission to help other hungry hearts learn how to stop their unnecessary suffering. Tune in to hear Teddy share how she discovered the secret to ending unnecessary suffering, how she catalyzed more healing for herself throughout the process of sharing and writing her story in community, how she healed another childhood wound through the writing and singing of her newest book, The Caterpillar with the Butterfly-Shaped Heart. And you'll want to hear how she's getting ready to provide some soul-healing nourishment with her all-you-can-eat story buffet and piano bar. Get ready to sip on some delicious storytelling with one of our own today. Welcome to Sips of Story Insanity, where we talk about the stories behind our favorite stories, with authors, speakers, thought leaders, healers, parents, and more. A few of my partners here at Saved by Story, my son, Aaron.
Hello.
And my sister, Alyssa.
Hi.
And clients turned friends turned partners. Carlin is here with us today.
Hello.
And they're all here to help me make sure that we get the most delicious sips of story insanity out of this experience. And for those of you who tune in regularly, you know I left someone out. Lori couldn't be here today, but I really left Teddy Rachel out because she is our guest for today. We're so excited. Teddy is the part that's not in the bio that I'm about to read is that she is one of our partners. And one of my oldest friends in the business, which you probably hear about today. But she's also the founder of Tales for the Hungry Heart. She's a songwriter and storyteller, serving up tasty tidbits, nutritious nuggets, and hearty helpings of truth, hope, and love for children, the child within, and grown-up kids. Teddy Rachel lived in constant emotional pain until her ever hungry heart discovered that her suffering was simply an injured part of herself crying out for healing and that she had the power to set herself free. At nearly 40, she embarked on the journey of healing her life by learning to be still and know truth, ultimately returning her heart to love one upset at a time. After years of setting herself free and helping others as a pastor and a life coach, she became conscious of the horrific trauma she'd experienced at the tender age of 4. And that's when she began the difficult yet rewarding task of reparenting herself by writing stories and songs for little one, her inner child. Their healing journey together is proof that it's never too late to give our younger selves everything it needs to become all we are meant to be. Teddy.
I was loving that.
Welcome. That's you.
That's me.
That's you. We've been on a long journey together, you and I.
Yes, we have.
How many lifetimes now?
A decade, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was counting up today. I think we're at 13 years. I think we met in 2010. And you were at my very first retreat, and you were the one who made it very clear with all of the activation and tears that happened in the room that I was not really just helping people write books. There was going to be more to the story of True to Intention. And so you've stuck around. You stuck around.
Yeah.
I watched you for 13 years do so much work with little one even before. And I want to talk about this book that you're getting ready to release because I'm so excited about it, but there's always a story behind the story. So I thought maybe today we could start out with you telling us a little bit about your first book.
Oh, really? You just have to go there, don't you?
It was all about going back, wasn't it?
Yes. My first book. So I went to Amanda's first Jumpstart Your Book retreat. And there's a whole story behind that. But I had completed a storybook, I imagined, for adults. And it was a book I had written. I had had this amazing revelation and aha that like transformed me in a moment and began changing my life, but I didn't know how to vocalize it. I didn't know how to say it. And so I had asked my Papa God for help, like help me write a story. Maybe a story would explain it. So I'd been inspired with this story, and I had just completed that when my boss dragged me along with her to Amanda's retreat because she figured I was going to help her write her book. And which it was a Jumpstart Your Book retreat. And man, I had been waiting for that moment. You know, years before, I had been through one of those little processes where they take you through and say, if you only had 6 months to live, what would be your must do? What would you have to do? And I had never thought of it prior to that, but on the list was write a book. And it was like the only thing that felt like I had to do it. And that shocked me. And so from that point, I started writing. And then, I went through cancer, and that further like made this, I need to write a book. Well, I wrote all these manuscripts. I had all these manuscripts, but it didn't feel like I had written a book because it was just a file on my computer. And so that desire to write a book was really powerful in me. So when she was dragging me to this Jumpstart Your Book retreat, I was like, oh yes, you know, and I have this little story that I've just completed. Well, I don't know. Do we go into all that, Amanda?
We don't have to go into all that. It was a long weekend for Teddy. A long weekend, a long silent weekend for Teddy. And it was my first retreat. So I was wondering what to do. Like I'd never had someone, you know, we had never had a retreat, and I certainly wasn't expecting to come have someone show up so
Activated. I mean, the things
Well,
to you.
you, geez, the right before the retreat, we had a retreat phone call, everybody going, and she said, "Now don't be surprised if you start getting your pain starts getting activated and things happen to upset you. Don't let it keep you from coming. This is all about transformation. The book writing process is a transformational process." And so she said all that, and I did get activated every day, and every day it got worse. I had tools that I knew how to deal with it. But by the fifth day, and then the sixth day, I was struggling to keep above water. And the seventh day day of it, I got so activated at work, I lost my voice. I couldn't speak. Literally could not speak. And I left work and headed to the retreat in that state of mind. And so I was there, unable to. I mean, I walked towards the door and I see this stranger, and the first thing was, oh no. I agreed to spend a weekend with strangers. Oh, that I have my social anxieties and all that. I'm like, whoa. And so that was a double whammy right there. Like, I'm in a pack of strangers. So, yeah, I ended up on the floor the last day, sobbing my eyes out.
In a heap of tears. But the thing that I think it was remarkable about it was that it was a song that got you there, right? Because everyone on that last day was telling their story, and you hadn't spoken for 2.5 days. And I don't know who was the last person before you, but they sat down and we all were like worried about looking at you because we didn't know if you were gonna speak. But everyone
Yeah.
was sharing their story. And instead of
So,
sharing a story, you got up and sang a song.
well, yeah, because I was totally freaked out. Share my story. I don't have a story. What are you talking about? I don't have a story. And now I got to get up in front of people and talk. And oh, I couldn't rest. I was just a mess. And I couldn't go to sleep. And my brain wouldn't work. Like, when I get activated to that point, my brain doesn't work. I can't grab onto a single sentence and hold on to it. And so, I was laying in bed, and all of a sudden I got a song. And I thought, if any song told my story, that song told it. That's what I'll do. I'll just get up and sing that song and sit down. That's my story. And so I did. I got up and I sang my song. And then when I quit singing, my story poured out of me. Then after that, everybody's supposed to give feedback. Well, there was a lady sitting over in the dining room area working on her book. She wasn't a part of our group. And she asked if she could say something. And she said, while I was telling my story, that a song came to her. She said, "I'm not a singer, but I want to sing it." And she began singing, "God is so good to me. He is so good to me." And that was a song that I had been known for. When I'd go places, they would request me to sing it years ago, like when I was a teenager and maybe early 20s. So I started to sing it with her to help her out because she didn't sing. So I thought, well, this is my song. This is like, I know this song. But oh, when I sang it, I went to the floor. Like, it just took me to a place of so much pain that I went down to the floor. And lying in a heap of tears in front of strangers.
The magic began.
And the magic began.
Yeah. Magic began. It was, I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. Everyone was crying. And when she finished singing, she went into telling the story of the hungry heart and how she had been in all of this pain. And you use the metaphor of the vending machine, which I feel like that's really important to this conversation okay. around your brand. And
so I had been raised on prayer. My dad was a prayer evangelist. He traveled all over. He taught people to pray. When I was born, we lived two doors down from the church, and I would wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he would change my diaper, make me a bottle, wrap me up like his little papoose, and carry his little Pocahontas and put her on the altar, and he'd feed me a bottle while he talked to God. And I'd go to sleep to the sound of my daddy praying. I'd wake up about 9 o'clock in the morning. That was my mom's prayer time. She would wrap me up. I mean, she'd change my diaper, make a bottle, and feed me on the bed where she knelt. And I'd go back to sleep to my sound of my mama praying. I grew up hearing prayer. I grew up, by the time I was 2 and 3 years old, I was praying powerful prayers. I was getting miracles. I was watching miracles happen. And yet by the time I was about 12, I was well aware that I was in a whole lot of pain. And so as much as I knew about prayer and talking to God and praying and watching miracles happen in my life, I have some incredible stories about the miracles that would happen in my life just because I'd say, "Oh God, please." And right there, it would happen, like miraculous, amazing, mind-blowing. People couldn't believe it. And yet what I couldn't understand, I would tell God, "I feel like you're this big vending machine up in the sky. And I'm a hungry heart looking through the glass at all these delicious looking packages of peace, hope, joy, comfort, strength, healing. And yet there's no price tag. So I just have to keep putting in my quarters and pushing the buttons, putting in my quarters and pushing the buttons, fasting and praying and sacrificially giving them a time, talent, and treasure." You know, like every once in a while, something would come down the hatch. But I didn't know why. Had I been desperate enough? Had I finally prayed enough? It was so frustrating for me. And I didn't understand how that I could pray a simple prayer and watch a miracle happen. But I'm begging for relief from this pain, and it's not happening. And I told him, "I feel like you're this vending machine up in the sky. You know, if that's the way you are, I don't even know if we can work." Like,
breaking up.
I don't want to be in relationship with somebody that, you know, that makes me beg and plead for the things I really, really, really need. So what happened? So I'm telling my story. And what happened is I went to a seminar on how to help people in pain. And one of the breakout sessions was on listening prayer. And it was about asking a question, being still, and just listening. And like journaling your question, journaling what you hear, the answers. And I'm like, holy Toledo. You know, I've been leaving 30-minute messages on the answering machine of heaven for all these years. Like, who knew you could just ask a question and get an answer. And so the next morning, the thing I said, "Okay, what's the secret to your vending machine?" And, you know, I started journaling what I was hearing, and it like changed my life. It literally, because I could, every time then that I was upset, I realized I could, that if I was upset, it's not what other people were doing to me. It's not what somebody else was doing, because they could do that. The upset was already in me, and they activated it is basically what I got. And so I began, whenever I would get upset, which I was in pain all the time, and I didn't go digging through my life trying to heal all this stuff. I just dealt with what came up today, whatever I felt today. And I would, where'd this come from? When did I, you know, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? What, when did I decide this? Just asking all these questions and getting all these answers in, and it just began healing my life. One upset at a time.
One upset at a time. And that day, the Hungry Heart brand was born. And then I made you do that terrible thing. No, I didn't make you. I invited you to tell your story, which you did in From Glory to Glory, right? Is the name of it? Glory to Glory, the tale of the Hungry Heart.
Oh, so I decided the book that I would write would be the book that shares how to do this, like how to tell the difference between all the different voices and how they make you feel and the goal of that voice and the motive behind that voice. And like, so that somebody could start, once you neutralize, I don't know if anybody's ever played the password game where you have a blue envelope and it has a red window on it. And you have a card over here with the words in blue, but written all over that card is red writing. So you can't just look at the card and see what the word is. You have to stick it in the envelope. Well, that's what it felt like. If you neutralize all the other voices because you understand what they sound like and how they make you feel, then the voice, that still small voice, becomes more apparent and obvious. So I wanted to write a book about all of that. And I basically done it. So I brought it to the next retreat, like showed her, so proud. Here it is. You know, she looked through it and she said, this is really interesting information, but where's your story? I'm like, my story? No. I don't do stories. I write curriculum. She said, where'd you get this? How'd you learn this? Da, da, da. And I said, well, I have prayer journals. Well, will you show me one? Show you my prayer journals. Right? That's where all my ugly is. What do you mean? So I did. Show her a few, and she goes, oh, this is your book. I want you to tell your story through your prayer journals. Oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah. That was a hard yes. It was hard to come to. Hard to come to, because, and then I tried to do it. I went back through and made it nebulous. What would be the word? So nobody would know who I was talking about or what I was talking about. She goes, I don't think this is going to work. Like, how's the reader supposed to identify with what you're doing? Like, oh my, you want me to like broadcast to the world all my struggle with my mom? I don't think so. But, you know, over time, I knew that it was a good thing to do for me. And it was it having to go back through. So she said, now you have to take these prayer journals. And now you know what you're talking about. But you've got to go in and you've got to build the situation in. You've got to bring the reader into what was going on. Talk about going back and reliving. Yeah, that was a toughie. And the process of writing that, you know, getting that out of me and all the residual yuck coming up, then I enter into the production process. And more of my uglies came out. I just didn't know I was so ugly. I was Amanda's challenge, like every time she turned around. She's wondering, why am I doing this? Why did I say yes to helping people write books?
No way. No way. But you were my first of many things. My first person to hit the ground in a retreat. My first person to tell show me that production was going to be a whole other opportunity for healing and transformation for people. And many, many, many firsts we've shared over the last 15 years. But as a result, I mean, I have seen you do all of this incredible work. It's like with every project, because you're prolific. You're the most prolific of all of us. You know, that's one of the things that I love about Saved by Story is everyone here has written something. Like we all know what it's like to, pull that hard thing out of us and put it on a page and work with it and try to make it digestible and readable for other people and then through the process of production. But I mean, none of us can touch the amount of words that you've put on the page over the last 13 years. It's just like, oh, I have this other parable that I wrote, or this other short story, or a children's book, or a... I'm like, what? Huh? So, like, how does this happen for you? I want to know, how do you connect with your muse? How are you that tapped into creativity? Because I know you're busy. I've watched you go through seasons where you had children and grandchildren living with you and you were still producing content. Like, help our listeners learn how this is possible.
I'll tell you, it happens in the stillness and the quiet of the morning. I learned that, and somebody said the morning breeze has secrets to tell. Do not go back to sleep. And that I learned, and for years, even though I was tired, I would wake up at 3:30. And my mind was already gone. I was awake. I was connected. It's like in the early hours of the morning, they say that veil between here and there is thinner. And getting up early and sitting in the stillness and the quiet, connecting connecting with the divine and the God in me and like, what is it they say? Inspiration is the original word is like spirit, like is I don't want to mess it up. But anyway, it's like, so when I connect in that quiet, in that stillness, in that quiet, like the inspiration just comes, it just flows. And yeah, writing has become part of my morning quiet time, my meditation, my because I'm sitting there and I get the most delicious thoughts, and I know they're not mine, so I have to write them down, and they become the impetus for a story or a something.
Yeah, and I know I've seen I mean that's usually when they get delivered to my inbox. Oh, look at what came, it's like 4 a.m. your time, wherever it is. And I'm like, what's happening right now? Inspiration is happening. And so I think about this. So for I want to say 10 years, I've watched you write story after story after story after story. And then when I called you a storyteller, you looked at me like you didn't understand English anymore. So I want to know, like, how is that possible? I mean, look, for the longest time, I have been saying to people, that superpower is usually the thing that you do so easily and naturally that you don't attach any value to it, right? People think it's the most amazing thing about you, and you're like, what? I do that? Oh yeah, I guess I do that. It's just so easy. So I've known that for a long time, but I was truly stunned when I saw your face and your spirit unable to receive that word.
Oh no, I'm not a storyteller. I don't do story. I write curriculum. How many times did I say that to you? I mean,
Many
you would
times.
say something about me being a storyteller or something, and I'd push back like, No. So, how does that happen? Well, in 2022, I think it was May, if I look back at my journals, all of a sudden this song started playing in my head, and I kept finding myself singing it. And I didn't know the song before that. I didn't even know where it came from. I was unaware of the song, and yet suddenly I was singing the song, and it was just over and over. It wouldn't stop. And every time I'd catch myself, I'd shut it up. And it's that song, "Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time?" And once it was, then it started showing up on the radio and on the my computer and on my telephone, and like it was everywhere. And I'm like, what is with this song? Like, stop it already. And one day I was making my bed, and this was right after another Amanda suggesting I was a storyteller, and me adamantly refusing I was not. Anyway, I was making my bed, and I found I was singing again, but I heard what I said. The words coming out of my mouth was, "Love can build a bridge. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mind. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time, Teddy? Don't you think it's time?" I actually said my own name. Like, that's how, like, I stopped and like, what just happened? And I knew I was being called. Like, I and so I left my bed unmade and went in the living room and sat down and began journaling about, like, what is my heart thinking? What's my head thinking? Where's the disconnect? And I discovered a really funny thing. So growing up in my household, we were not allowed to say "shut up," "stupid," "liar," well, along with "gosh darn," "golly gee," none of that was allowed. So, but creativity was encouraged. My mom said, "Say what you need to say. Don't use those words. However you want to, just don't use those words." And so,
I would have
us
gotten
kids
kicked out of
got.
that family so fast.
What?
He said I would have gotten kicked out of that family so fast.
So we got really creative, like, "You're molesting the truth," and all kinds of things. But we would come up with all these ways to tell each other to stop talking and that they were ignorant and all these things. Anyway, sometimes we'd be rolling on the floor laughing with the creativity that came out of all that. But my mom, she kept it pretty simple. Lies were stories. Liars were storytellers. And if you're lying, you're a storytelling, you're storytelling. You're writing, you're telling a story right now. Don't be a storyteller. So as a little kid, I'm talking about young, 7, 8, 9, storyteller was not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. So that bit of information or truth or experience, whatever, was stuck in me. So when she'd say, "You're a storyteller." "No, I'm not." "No." And so just coming to that awareness and journaling through that and realizing my dad was an incredible storyteller. He traveled all over telling stories and inspiring faith. My mom was a storyteller. I mean, she loved to tell stories. The last few days of her life, she had me in stitches with her storytelling, and she loved to encourage people with her storytelling. So, and then, there's Jesus. He's quite the storyteller. I'm like, wow, I guess I need to just embrace this. I've been believing something that wasn't true. And so when I was able to, okay, I'm a storyteller. I can remember one morning on a call with Amanda and a cocoon group that we have of writers, when that it suddenly dawned on me, like, oh, wait a minute, the first book that took me to Amanda was a story. The one I thought I was going to publish was a story. In like 2000, 2001, I had written a whole series of stories and songs about Bixby the Boundary Bunny. I'd forgotten all about that. I had written a book for the company that I worked for, and it was published, and I forgot about that. I'd written Little Christopher's Very Big Dream and had it illustrated and presented it at a kindergarten class. And I wrote a one about Polly, the praying mantis, learns to pray a powerful prayer, and had it, a neighbor illustrated it. And we went to the children's home and had coloring pages and told the story. And like, hello, I have all of these. I'm like, where is all this? I had tons.
All day. She was like, oh my gosh, I found another one. Oh my gosh, I found another one. We're all in stitches. Like, oh my gosh, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm
a storyteller. That's the missing piece. You know, it was like, oh, you know, it was frustrating because I always knew I was going to be a teacher. As a kid, I didn't play house or dolls. I played school, and I knew I was going to be a teacher, and that did not pan out for me. I wasn't socially able to get up in front of people and all that. And so I wasn't, you know, it's anyway, the realization through, again, journaling in the morning, the realization that I am a storyteller, and that because I had this conflict, I wanted to teach. I'm a teacher, and I wanted to teach, but like getting up in front of people, I did it for years. And I forced myself because that's what teachers do, right? You get up in front of people and you teach. And so I did it for years, and it was always this conflict in me. And so the realization, you know, like my live-in life coach, he said, when I'm journaling, he said, well, where did you learn all the stuff you know? Oh, at home in my chair reading books. I can teach by writing stories. Just, I could tell stories. I don't need to tell you what to do I can write a story and present an invitation of sorts, you know, that just through the story. And it's like my whole life just kind of everything fell into place. Like, oh, I know who I am now. I absolutely know who I am. And you can't talk me out of it now.
Well, I mean, going from the hungry heart to this book that you are putting out into the world right now, which I love, because if anyone knows me, they know that I'm all about the butterfly and messaging. And that's what this book is all about. In fact, I was reviewing it again today, and I was thinking, this might actually be like so close to the book that I was initially inspired with in 2007. Remember, I was going to write like a series for little ones and for the parents. And I was looking at it thinking, like, I always felt so bad that I never finished that project. But I'm like, I know it's off my plate. It's like this, masterfully done. I do not have any of the rhyming ability that you have. Like, it is so, this is such a masterpiece, because you have the book and you have the audio that goes with it. And so I'd love for you to tell a little bit about when did this get inspired? What's the story behind the caterpillar with the butterfly-shaped heart?
It started in a library parking lot after a women business owners meeting that my boss had dragged me to. She had been dragging me to these meetings with her, networking meetings, all these things where all these women business owners, and I am a lowly secretary, an executive assistant, if you want to be, you know, high and mighty about it. And so I felt like I had nothing in common with these people. And when somebody would come up and talk to me or sit down next to me and want to carry a, oh, what do you do, is the first thing that most people would ask. And I'd say, oh, I'm Jan's assistant, and like dismiss them, like you can dismiss me. You don't have to talk to me because I'm just Jan's assistant. And I felt so awkward and I hated it. And I had a dream. So I had just walked out another one of those meetings and I was in my car. And I was sobbing so hard, I could not drive. And my sobs were like growls. I don't know how to explain it. It was just guttural because I'm like, I have a dream. You know, I believe, I have a knowing inside of me. And yet, you know, and big part of that was writing a book. And yet, you know, like I've got it plastered everywhere on my walls at home, on my bulletin board at work. I got it. You know, I believe. Why aren't you helping me? Everybody else is doing what they want to do. They've all found their calling and their place. And you know, I hate the way I feel here. And I was just going on and on. And when I finally quieted down, that still small voice said, darling, I have put you in room after room, set you right next to people that have the expertise, the resources, the heart to help you. And you never talk to them. You ignore them. I'm like, that's true. Like I ignore strangers. Like, I don't know you. That's true. You got me there. Why do I do that? And he says, you tell me why. And so it started pouring out of me, you know, they all are business owners. I'm not. They are educated. I'm not. They're this. I'm not. Just on and on till I was wallowing neck deep in not enoughness, you know, and I realized what I was doing. And I, you know, the understanding that this, oh, that I've been missing all the divine appointments that had been orchestrated for me. So I promised I was going to try to do better. Well, this is right when the next thing that happened within just a couple weeks was my boss was going to her Jumpstart Your Book retreat. And at the last minute, right, just days before it was going to start, she decided she wanted to bring me along. And so when Amanda's, the first thing she did when we all got there and settled in is she picked up this egg and she called it a magic egg. You still have that?
You do somewhere here.
And she said, Mama Monarch, she didn't say that. She said, the butterfly knows that in this egg is every, you know, the little one, I'm trying to use, not use, if I use my words, I'm sorry, but that the little one has everything in, it needs to become the butterfly it's meant to be. It's all in this magic egg. So Mama Monarch doesn't, lay her egg on cement or sand or the road, you know, she lays it on a leaf because that's what the butterfly is going to need to thrive and survive. And she said, you all are just like this magic egg. You have been intentionally placed right where you are. You have in you and around you everything you need to become the butterfly you're meant to be. Chills went up and down, cartwheels and all that, because she was talking my live-in life coach's language. And I'm like, oh, I'm right where I need to be. Now, I was in such a state, I didn't hear anything after that. That was all I got at that retreat. So a few years later, you know, I had learned Amanda's butterfly approach, or what do you call it, butterfly approach, and had learned to surrender to the upside down, and in that upside down space, use the tools that I already had gathered, and then added, you know, the writing to heal. So I thought this would be a good children's book for my grandchildren if I could write it. And that's where I started. And I wrote the song. Well, I think you might have inspired that. I have a pillowcase you gave me that has all these I am statements all over it. That was your Christmas gift 1 year. So that might have even inspired it. But I wrote this song. And had the butterfly. So all as far as I got on this story was that Mama Monarch was flying around the garden looking for the perfect place to lay her egg. And once she does, you know, she speaks to it, and then she rocks the leaf softly with the flutter of her wings, and she begins to sing that song. You are heaven's child. You are love on earth. You are perfectly designed. You are the answer to a prayer. You are wanted. You are worthy. You are gifted. You are blessed. You are totally lovable. You are intelligent. You are brave. You are kind. You are powerful. You are creative. You are unstoppable. So that's basically, and so snuggled in her tiny shell, little one slept. And as she slept, she dreamed. And that was it. So I'm imagining children's books, and I'm thinking for each little part, you know, will be a set of books, like a little kid's set of books of six books that go in a box, you know. And but I didn't have the inspiration to keep going. It felt like an overwhelming thing. It was a couple years, I would imagine, before the inspiration came. And soon as it came, and the words that I was using that was coming out of me and rhyming, like comfort zone, you know, referring to her shell, things like that, that's not really kid language. I'm like, because I was thinking of my daughters, but specifically one, like, this child has been from the get-go so beautiful. Her attitude, her spirit, her heart, everything is just, she's the one child that I've said many, many, many times, I want to grow up to be like you. And yet she was, I knew she was meant for more, but she was like stuck in a place that she couldn't seem to get out of. And so as I was writing, I was thinking of her. And so it was more like, oh, I'm writing for the mommy that I hope reads it to her children. And so that's how I finished the book, thinking, and I always thought it was going to be a Mother's Day book. That's what I envisioned. But you know, I couldn't seemed to get it into publication, and that very daughter's the one that drew all painted all the pictures for the book. So so beautiful. Anyway, this past year in 2022, I was determined to do it, you know, in Mother's Day 2022, and I couldn't get it off the ground. And then at the end of 22, I'm like, I now have five. I didn't know about those other two, those other many that I just found about remembered the last few months. But so I said, I have five illustrated books ready to go. Like, I want to do this. And so I talked to Aaron and Amanda about it. And then it was, well, which one first? And I had my own idea of which one I wanted. That one had been around the longest, you know, the tail of a butterfly, caterpillar with a butterfly shaped heart had been around the longest. So I was wanting to go with a new inspiration, but my live in life coach kept pushing me towards this one. And so finally one day I you know, opened up the document and started reading and singing the song. And there was a lot of pushback in me. It was like, this is not true. This is stupid. You know, this is like, it's a bunch of malarkey, you know, nobody's going to believe this. And in a little bit, I realized that my inner child was not having it. She was like, that's not true. Not true. And because, you know, yeah. So I decided to sing the song to her every morning. My wounded 4-year-old. I started, you know, and like I would say, you are wanted, you are worthy. No, so much shame, you know, you were wanted. No, because I had been rejecting her. So she wasn't feeling wanted. There was a lot of pushback, and I had to just sing that song, like just sit with her on my lap in the stillness and the quiet and just sing that song and sing that song. And this started in December. And I realized I needed to connect with her somehow. It wasn't happening like I wanted it to happen. And so I realized what is something a 4-year-old would want to do? What could I do with her that she would enjoy doing? So I got finger paints. I got all kinds of things. And we sat at the table, the dining room table. We didn't clear it off from mid-December to into February. The dining room table we did not eat at, because it was set up for her. And we sat and we finger painted and we did all kinds of things. We ended up doing the illustrations for the Love's Journey Home, The Tale of a Hungry Heart. We did the illustrations for that. And, you know, I just spent time with her until we really connected and I was ready. So on my birthday, her birthday, we signed a contract to publish the book. Do you want me to go into the publishing stuff?
That could be a whole other podcast.
Huh?
I said that could be a whole other podcast, right?
Yeah, I don't want to take up too much time, but it's so powerful. Like, you would think writing a children's book. So let me just back up for a moment. So who knew in 2015, when I started writing this book for children, that I was writing the very words my own inner child needed to hear to heal. And so this book means so much to me now, because it is a part of my healing journey. It is like just delicious. It's all about me. No, it's my story. And I didn't, okay, I connected, but see, it, me coming out and actually publishing and launching this book is the story in The Tale of a Caterpillar with a Butterfly Shaped Heart. Because when I signed the contract, and then they start talking about public marketing and all that in meetings, like, I totally lost my voice again. They will attest that it would come out like I was sipping on helium or something, like It just wouldn't come out. And then somebody came and slipped into my DMs and let me have it 7 ways from Sunday. And I tried to give a loving response. And they didn't take it as such and came back again. And so then I set a boundary and they came back again and crossed all those boundaries. I didn't read it that time because it was like too much. It was like activating some real pain in me, really activating pain in me. And what I said to myself was, I knew it. I knew it. I knew the minute I became visible again, this was going to happen. Because the backstory is, every time I shared something on Facebook, somebody would either make horrible comments, or they would contact me over in Messenger and let me have it about whatever I had said. Like, I didn't understand that. Like, if you don't like what I said, just like go on.
Scroll. That's what it's
scroll. But you know, they'd attack me. And so my response to that was to become invisible, to not show up on Facebook. I'd go through there and like some and heart some, rarely ever like respond, like reply to something, because I didn't want to be seen. And I'm like, oh, okay, when did I decide this, you know? And I realized that when I was being bullied in middle school, that I had prayed for an invisibility cloak. Like, don't let me be seen, God, just don't let me be seen. Because I knew if I was seen, somebody was going to trip me. They were going to put gum in my hair. They were going to knock my books out of my hand. They were going to call me names. They were going to do something. They were going to shove me and try to get me to fall. You know, it was just torture. And so I decided it's not safe to be seen. Because if you're seen, you're going to be bullied, shamed, and shunned. Because high school, they weren't bad like that. They weren't mean, but I guess I still had the cooties. And once you have cooties, you always have cooties. So they would like walk way around me in the hallways. Like when I was coming and kids were coming, it's like parting of the Red Sea. Nobody wanted to get close to me. So I was just shamed and shunned. So I had this belief that if I was seen, I would be bullied. I would be shamed. I would be shunned. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, so in my journaling of that, that was true in 1973. It was true. But that's like trying to use a Thomas Brothers Roadmap book today. That's a 1973. And for the younger generation before GPS, you each county would print up these spiral bound map books where you could go and look up the address in the back of the book, and it would give you a page and what do you call it, coordinates, like D5. And you'd go and you'd look for it, and then you'd have to map your own way to get there. But this is how we got around. So I have been living my life using a 1973 Thomas Brothers Roadmap book. It was true then. It's not true now. I had suffered a lot with that belief system, and I wasn't ready to have it anymore. I was willing and ready to release it. I don't care how true it felt and looked. I didn't want it anymore. And so I was able to release that and to embrace that I am loved and I am wanted and I am worthy. All the words in that song that I had not been able to embrace, I was able to embrace. And, you know, I started posting on Facebook, and I post several times a week. I've only received love. Nothing has changed except what my expectation. And it's just an example of how, you know, I've healed my life. So yeah. So now I'm able to go ahead and launch this book and do the, you know, post things about it without, I mean, I don't have any problem with it, posting things about it. Sometimes I forget because I got a lot going on in my life, but you know, when I think about it, I post and I'm okay.
Just giant.
And then the next thing happened, right? Like this hokey thing came up.
Oh my gosh, so many things. There's so many.
So
your story, you know, and we've said this for years, right? Because you've been around since the beginning, like this idea that the story or the message that someone is putting out there is the answer to whatever gets turned upside down in their life through the creative process. Like generally speaking, if something is going sideways or upside down, how is what I'm writing about actually? And I mean, you know, we've even gotten to the point where we'll hear about a person's message and kind of look at each other and go, whoa, right? And like, what's going to happen as they get into this creative process? Because it's such a powerful message. Like, how could this, you know, the inverse of this show up in their lives for them to use it? But I just think about, like, that's really what I think when I look at these words, you know, love made flesh, answer to a prayer, wanted, worthy, gifted, blessed, lovable, intelligent, brave, kind, powerful, creative, unstoppable. And you know that when Aaron was super little, like, that's what I was trying to do, was like find the better words, because I knew that all the words that we had that were part of my vocabulary were like given to me, and they weren't very empowering. So I'm curious, because you said that when you got to wanted and worthy, that's where you got like, you know, you had that. So I'm curious for the other people on the podcast right now, like, which of these URs do you wish you had heard when you were little that your inner child today might even still need to hear? Love made flesh, answer to a prayer, perfectly designed, wanted, worthy, gifted, blessed, lovable, intelligent, brave, kind, powerful, creative, and unstoppable. For me, I think it was wanted. I think that's probably the first place that I would have gotten stuck. Is wanted. Anyone else have one that sends a little ripple? Melissa?
The one that stood out for me was lovable. And the first time that you said that in this conversation, I was like, because that was something that I was shown by one particular person in my world. And it was a man, it was my father. And it was something I was showed, but it was never verbalized. It was never voiced. So I didn't have like an aware articulation of that concept, but I felt it. And then as an adult, once he wasn't in the picture anymore, there was this gaping hole that I couldn't put a voice to, or I couldn't put an understanding to. And then it just turned into this ugly pattern that repeated in my relationships of never feeling like, no matter how it showed up, it was, the wound was never feeling lovable, and I never understood it because it was never verbalized. Like, it was never really concrete, you know? I wasn't taught the affirmation. So little me could have definitely benefited from that.
I think just like you said, Amanda, mine was definitely is wanted. That's the first one that stands out to me. And just when I think back on just like, you know, my earliest memories and earliest, you know, what I can now see is like emotional experiences. Like you said, Alyssa, I didn't have like the word or the understanding for what was happening, but, you know, knowing now what that was, it was definitely around not feeling wanted or feeling inconvenient or, you know, something along those lines that definitely just leaked in to all the other things, but, you know, worthiness, lovable, things like that. But I think that one's probably the core one for sure.
Yeah.
For me, I would say probably thinking about young childhood, probably powerful. Mm-hmm. Mostly because there were a lot of situations with bullies or even just school situations that I kind of just let happen or rolled over and let, like, you know, I didn't have boundaries. I had to build those in. So yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine if, like, you'd gotten that all out early? If we'd gotten it early, the things that could have been different. And I mean, when I think about what you're putting into the world with not just the book, which is just so, it's just so beautiful. Your daughter did such an incredible, she's such an incredible artist. But the song, are you able to sing just like maybe a, sing it,
the you are part. You are,
yeah, maybe we can hear the piano too. Let's
yeah
see.
I don't know if you'll hear the piano, but I'll do it. You are heaven's child. You are love on earth. You are perfectly designed. You are the answer to a prayer. You are wanted. You are worthy. You are gifted. You were blessed. You are totally lovable. You are intelligent. You are brave, you are kind, you are powerful, you are creative, you are unstoppable, you are You are.
I mean, can you imagine getting that lullaby every night? Like, that was the reason why I created that pillowcase, because I was like, we just need, as parents, a reminder, right? That, like, the last words that we say to our kids before they go to sleep, right? Sending them in there. And then, but you know, even then it never really occurred to me, even though I was doing my work alongside Aaron, that maybe I need to be, you know, saying those things as I was drifting off to sleep too. So I...
Singing that to myself every morning, like a lullaby, you know, was so powerful to me. It was. I mean, I could feel the resistance in the different places. And then I started writing little love notes to little one from Mama Monarch, you know, taking each of those phrases and further explaining it, you know, so to help myself be able to receive it. And yeah, like now I know it. I know it. I'm going to read just one. Let me see. Just the worthy one. I was looking through them today. They touch my heart so much when I, let's see, you are worthy. Okay. Dearest little one, you are worthy. No matter what, you are worthy of being loved deliciously and exquisitely. You are worthy of being treated with decency, dignity, consideration, and respect. No exceptions. You are worthy simply because you be. Your breath makes you worthy, even when it ain't smelling too rosy. Love you to the moon, Mama Monarch.
Yeah. I love those. Eddie, October 29th, this book is going to go into the world. How does it feel? Are you ready?
I am ready. And it's already, you know, available for pre-order. You can go on there and, you know, buy it. And they don't charge you till they, you know, till they actually ship it, you know, after the 29th, I guess. But yes, I'm excited. It's like finally happening. Like, putting who I am out into the world. It feels, you know, the first book was all my uglies. And now, you know, it's like, oh, I get to put out some really delicious stuff. Yeah. So I'm excited.
Carlin, I'm curious because you got to be one of the proofreaders on this book, right? What was your experience of it? I mean, all of the work that you do with people to help that reparenting process, what were your initial thoughts about it?
Well, before I actually got to read the book, do you remember, for your birthday, Teddy, we did like a birthday party?
Yeah.
And you sang the song, and I think you read the book or read passages of the book. But when the book finally came in hard copy, I was with Aaron in Arizona, just flipping through it. The song was like just already in my head, like it goes with it. And you know, in my work with people, I mean, I find myself often saying things like, "We have to be the parent that we did not have when it comes to, you know, fill in the blank, whatever the issue is, or we have to, essentially in a nutshell, do the work that you've done, right? Which is we have to create or connect with a inner something, right? It could be a mother, a coach, a father, a friend, but that voice, right? The voice that can come in and say, oh God, don't worry about what those people said online, just scroll and move on. Or, oh, don't listen to that. Or, you know, you know, you're beautiful. Don't even worry about it. This kind of sound, that really making it internal. Right. And I think the way you talked about singing to yourself and telling yourself these words and writing post-it notes and the part of like, the stretch where you would say them, it's like you would go through the motions, but you would still have this thing inside like, don't say I'm worthy. But that's so common, right? That's like a common part of the healing and recovery process. And I also believe that that's sometimes when you see people leave their work, right? They leave, whether they're like officially going to therapy or they're doing their work on their own, is they run into that like, no. And, you know, abandon it versus just kind of keep pushing through until you can really receive and absorb the messages that, like you said, Amanda, like, man, can you imagine if we had been getting all this stuff early?
Well, and we kind of have an example of that. I mean, I didn't model all of this very well to Aaron, but I tried to give him the messages as much as I could. In fact, when Teddy sent me the Dear Little Ones, I'm going to send it to Aaron because I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the stuff that I would leave on his pillow when I went to a retreat. You know, like I was trying so hard to use the words that I didn't get the way that I got them. And so, but we also have our little nephew, Alyssa, right? Think about that guy. And, you know, when we talked initially with Teddy about, you know, how do we share about this book? You know, do we call it a children's book, or do we let parents know that actually this is for you first? You know, like it's going to be a beautiful thing to teach your child and have them singing this song, because there's also a really fun rap version of this in the audio, y'all. I mean, your kids are going to crack you up when they start singing this back. But I just think about this little guy that we're watching grow up with a mom who's done a lot of work and is intentionally putting these words in his space, and how she's aware enough to be like, you know what? Sometimes I turn on the affirmations and they're for me more than him. Like, she's clear. Like, today we need to talk about how powerful we are. Like, mom needs the reminder. So we're playing the affirmations, you know? And I'm just excited to see how, you know, I don't think any of us get out of childhood unscathed. I haven't met a person. Have any of you unscathed by something, some poor messaging or story or trauma that happens? And, but man, you start this stuff early, and the resilience that can be built in the face of those things.
Because even, you know, it's, we're not as spongy, soaky, uppy as adults, as children are. And even just the fact that I have been able to soak it up. Like, you couldn't talk me out of it now. You cannot talk me out of it. It's like, I know that I know that I know that I know. And I wouldn't have been able to really get this book out into the world until that, you know, until it was a part of me, until it was inside of me. And to think that if I could do it at 64 years old, that I could rewire and rechange that, all those feelings inside of me, you know, and it didn't take but a couple months, you know, how much easier it will be for children to absorb it.
And you know how it goes when you do this with little children. I can't wait till little Christian is using his words, because, man, I put all those things in and they came right back in my face as soon as that kid could talk. Like, well, that's not a very powerful thing to do, Mom. You know, like, how old are you, right? But it showed me it was in there, right? I mean, it would startle me, and then I'd go, well, at least he knows that. Okay, I have my work cut out for me to figure that out for myself. But I just see it accelerating healing for not just the parent, but entire family systems. I mean, making this part of the ethos and, you know, the music in the air of a home. I can't wait to hear how people are, the stories that are going to come back your way as a result of people reading this and turning it on, like on their way to preschool or school, you know. I just, so excited. So does anyone else have anything that you want to add or ask?
I was just going to say how excited I am to hear it, to read it and listen to the audio, because as you were talking about our other sister, she started for our nephew this to kind of cheer him on, this go baby, go baby, go. And she just did that for months. And then, as you know, postpartum, everything would get a little more difficult. She'd have a good moment, be like, go mama, go. And she had turned into this. The song she'd sing for herself. So there's this other element of integration that happens when we put right. music to things. Like, we remember songs in different languages, and we remember songs from our childhood. So I just really admire that you did that. I'm excited for it.
I'm excited.
And I'm really excited about what's ahead. Will you share kind of what's next for you and the hungry hearts who decide to maybe get this book and stay connected to?
Yeah. So my heart has always been, I wanted to just give things away. Can't give away a book like this, you know. Sorry, it doesn't work. But so I am in the process of stocking the shelves of Tales for the Hungry Heart.com, an online all you can eat story buffet and piano bar. So where you can just go and read all kinds of stories, you know, that I need to get in, I need to take and put in there, and that I've written over the years. You know, inspirational stories, stories of love, like this amazing love, and stories of healing, how I've healed, like just tell a story and let people get out of it what they get out of it, and see if, oh, I can apply that to my life too. So I have a lot of stories, and I'm going to add the singing part to it, which is, you know, so amazing, which was another healing I got through that process. I would not have been able to do that. So yes, I'm really excited about stocking the shelves and it just being a place where people can go when their heart is hungry and they need some truth, hope, love, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm doing that. And of course I have these other books that, I want to get out. But now that I've done this process, I'm like, okay, probably not more than one a year. I don't know. We'll see.
Get a piece of the transformational process a little bit, come up for air. And
yeah,
it's a lot.
And a lot of work, you know, it's teaching an old dog new tricks, doing all these things online to make people aware of things. And it's, you know, learning how to do a website and how to run it and how to, all of that's new and it takes time. But my excitement about that is more than the book. Mm-hmm. Because for years, I've that's been my heart, is how can I just give this away? How can I, like, I have found the answer. How can I just give it away, give it away, give it away? And I didn't want a website. I argued, you know, I was adamant about that. I don't need a website. And then just about 3-4 weeks ago, it was like, oh, I need a website. I didn't even really understand why, you know, but I was like, I need a website. Okay. But now it's like all falling together. And that website part of it, where there's just stories, that thrills me, because like you said, I'm prolific. Like I get a lot of inspiration, and I've had a lot of inspiration that didn't go anywhere. It's sitting in my computer, and I didn't know how to give it away. I didn't know how to share it. And so that part of it is very exciting to me, because if somebody's hungry, if they're hurting and they're a hungry heart, they can learn a lot through stories, because I do. So
yeah, you're creating a all you can eat buffet and piano bar and your very own vending machine that people don't have to do anything. Yeah. Click the button to have something delicious.
And all you can eat and all you can eat piano bar buffet. What?
All you can eat story buffet and piano bar.
How fun is that?
I love it.
So that's what we did on the other Sunday, is cut the ribbon opening ceremony. But, yeah, I'm excited about that. That really gets my juices going.
Yep. Every time I see you behind the piano, I just want to see you behind the piano some more, singing and taking people to that place that you can't get to without music. It's hard. It's hard. So, well, listen, thanks for sticking around for so long and not running away after the first retreat and the first production process. And if there's anything that there's so much in this podcast that I think people will take home with them to digest and share with their loved ones. But I think look at that book. It's so beautiful. So beautiful.
Yes, it is. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay.
I just want people to know about it. Look at that. Isn't that delicious? Oh my gosh.
No heart.
That was the first picture she ever painted for this book. That was when little one came alive.
Truly, it's a whole savory experience, right? All of the taste buds get met in there. The words, the sounds, and the visuals all work together to make such a beautiful experience. So yeah, hop over to Tale for the Hungry Hearts, as I don't know exactly when it'll be up, but keep checking. Post the link as soon as it's up and ready underneath this this podcast. And thank you, Teddy. Thank you for being you, and for recognizing that you are not just a storyteller, but an amazing storyteller who is putting really needed truth and love and hope into the world, and for sharing your story today. And I want to thank you all for being here, and thanks to those who are listening and watching this episode of Sips of Story and Sanity. Make sure that you keep track of, you find this book, the caterpillar. I always get it goofed up. The caterpillar with a butterfly shaped heart. Why do I invert that all the time? Go over to Amazon and get your copy, and then stay tuned, find Tale for a Hungry Heart on, social media, and enjoy the very frequent delicious tidbits and songs that are being delivered over there. So that's a wrap for today. Thank you all.